So I'm going to go to messages and go to the message I preached last year. Here's the 2022 messages. And they're by date there, so for harmony and synchrony, this message right here was preached on 4/22. The audio is there, but we don't want to do the audio. Let's look at the video. Based on this message from last year, that I said that in Exodus 12:2, the Lord commanded us to start the counting of the new year, and reviewed a little of what happened on Exodus 12. I said that last year, the Feast of First Fruits and the reckoning by the Bible agreed. There's only one possibility for it to agree. That is, if Aviv 14 is on a Friday, then Aviv 15 is on a Saturday, and the morning after that Saturday is the 16th, which is when the Jewish community does their counting. Okay? It's called the Pharisaic reckoning. In that sense, then, that Sunday, both those of us that read the Bible and stick to what it says, and those that don't and do whatever they were told to do, all did it at the same time, so it didn't make any difference. We were all counting together. Okay? In that message, I said that last year, Sunday that coincided with the counting of the Omer was Easter. But then I said in a message that I preached on 4/25/20, entitled Know the Truth. Okay, well, let's go to 4/25/20. Let's prove this online. 4/25. Know the truth. In other words, be intimate with the truth. Here's the message. The premise of that message is that many, many people will say, well, I don't know what the truth is. And the answer to that is Yeshua gave the answer to us on John 17. On the night before he died, after Passover, he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John 17, he says, Father, sanctify them, that is, set them apart. That's the same word that Sam was using last week, the other day. Sam was all about sanctification. And he said to us that means to be set apart. So let's say what he said. Lord, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. We don't have to wonder what your word, what is the Lord Yeshua said, that the written word of God that we have, that he said, the words that he said, whether he said them in Exodus or he said them 2,000 years ago, same guy. His word is truth. The word of Adonai is truth. You want to know what the truth is? The word of Adonai. It doesn't carry a label Democrat or Republican. It doesn't carry a label this preacher or that preacher. It doesn't. It's not my truth. It is truth. Sanctify them by your truth, your word. You know, I could just preach another 2 hours here. And I said, here's the problem sometimes that we run into. This is on the 2020 message. I said, I want to show you some places where venerable means important, absolutely really important parts of Scripture. In some translations contain errors. The original text is okay. It's the translation that is wrong. And I showed some here in the in this place. And notice that it says to bring him up the people after the Passover. The Passover, it's right here in the Greek, is the word, this is pi for P. This is aleph or a. This is, what's that little word? It's the S sound, sigma. So pas, and the chi is the CH sound, pascha. Pascha. Does that say Easter? Does that say Easter? You know, in the book of Acts, it never says the word Easter. It's not found in the Bible, like what Sam said. It's not there. What word is there? Pascha. If you pick up a Spanish Bible, it says Pascua. We don't have the equivalent of the word Easter in the Spanish translations of the Bible. The 1500 Reina Valera doesn't say Easter. It says Pascua. The word that is for Passover. So I showed that to people in 2020. Then I said, but it gets worse. And I showed a segment here. Here's the actual picture from the Torah. Here's the reading from the Torah. Okay? And here's what it says. You shall then count 7 complete weeks after the day following the Passover holiday, when you brought the Omer as a wave offering, until the day after the 7th week, when there will be a total of 50 days. That is what the Orthodox Bible says that means. However, when I ask, what is the JPS, which is the Jewish Publication Society, which started in the early century. So in the 1917 version of the Jewish Publication Society says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the day of rest, i.e. Shabbat, from the day that you brought the sheaf or the waving, 7 weeks shall there be complete, even to the morrow after the 7th week. Partially correct. the word for week is Shavuah. Shavuah, okay? So it's that word in here. Let me show you what it's on the King James Version. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Okay? This is the word from saper, which means to count. Lachem. Mimeharet ha shabbat. Do you see that? Shin, right there. This word, right here, where I had the cursor. Ha-Shabbat. What does Ha-Shabbat mean? The Sabbath. Is there any place in the Bible where Shabbat means something else? If it did, this would be a really difficult Bible to read. Because it would depend on where you are and who's saying it. But that's not the case. Look, the first law of hermeneutics, that is the study of the Bible in a Bible college, is the first law is that text interprets text. Don't go to someone else. Go to the text to interpret the text. In other words, when the Lord said in Genesis, I could show you that kind of stuff doing this. I could just go open up Genesis and go to verse 26 and actually read it for you and see that it says the Shabbat. Shabbat, what did it mean? The seventh day, the only day that has a name, Shabbat. So when did Shabbat become the word week? The word week is Shavuah. Is there a Shavuah anywhere in here? The answer is no. So let me continue with the King James Version. From the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths, not 7 weeks, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. What does that mean? Duh. Duh, 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 duh. What does it mean? When is the Shabbat complete? At sundown. At sundown, okay? Duh. You shall count 7 complete Shabbats. Well, you could say, well, you see, at the end of 7 Shabbats, it's the conclusion of the week. Well, let's just start stringing it. And of course, if it's the conclusion of the week, then we can just say it's 7 complete weeks. Sam said the other day, part of the problem is that if you don't stick to the whole truth, the truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth, and you just get part truth and part not, you're just going to get Kool-Aid. And it's not going to be correct, my friends. The King James didn't make an error here at all whatsoever. The TLV says, then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat. What does the morrow after the Shabbat mean? The morning after the Shabbat. You are to count from when? When do you start? From the day that you brought the Omer wave offering. 7 complete Shabbatot, which is plural for Shabbat. 7 complete Shabbats. What does that take you after 7 complete Shabbats? What's the next day? What does happen? What happens on Saturday afternoon when the sun sets? It becomes the first day of the week. Until the morrow after the 7th Shabbat. That's 50 days. 7 times 7 is 49, and then the next day is 50. And then present a new grain offering to Adonai. That was an injunction to do Omer count. Let me just give you some. Oh, by the way, just the Spanish people. Just. Y os habéis de contar desde el siguiente día del sábado, no de la semana, desde el día en que ofreciste el Omer de la ofrenda mecida, 7 semanas cumplidas serán. So they didn't say 7 sábados cumplidos. 7 semanas cumplidas serán hasta el siguiente día del sábado. Séptimo, el siguiente día del séptimo sábado, contaréis 50 días. 7 times 7 is 49 plus 150. This is called the RVA. Look, the truth will make you free. That was the essence of that message. So it turns out I brought that back up. Let's see if it's still here. No, it's not here. So I brought that back up in 2022, last year. Now I can get into my message. Listen, a lot of you, all this stuff just go like, I think we all should be Bereans. The state that has Bereans is Missouri. which is called the show me state. Okay? Show me what it says in the Bible. Don't just tell me about it. Show me. All of us that preach here tell you to go check it out. Go check it out. Well, can you? Are you going to read the rabbis? Are you going to read, you know, you can go read any famous Christian speaker or any Jewish famous speaker. Well, that's not where the truth is, right? The truth is where? Thy word is truth in the Bible, okay? So when I preached this message last year about harmony and synchrony, at the end I said, here's a problem. Okay, that we need to weigh the sheaf before Adonai for your acceptance on the morrow after the Shabbat. The priest shall wave it on the morrow after which Shabbat. We're talking, it was, you know, that's the next verse after it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it's talking about the Shabbat or the Feast of, during the Festival of Pesach. That's when the waving of that's called the Feast of First Fruits. Last year, it was the same day, whether you were Sadducee or Pharisee, or just literal what the Bible says. It agreed. Well, not this year. Not this year. Not this year, because Passover was Tuesday night, Wednesday. That means the first day of unleavened bread started on Wednesday night and ran until the conclusion of Thursday. And then Thursday night until the conclusion of Friday is when they started the Omer count. Okay, they started the Omer count on the day after the Shabbat of Passover, the first one. Okay, question for you. Does Leviticus 23 call the first day of unleavened bread Shabbat? What does it call it? It calls it the first day of unleavened bread. What did he say to do? To have a holy convocation. What else did he say to do? No work. No work. What day is the no work day in the week? Shabbat. So, you could say that the first day of unleavened bread is like a Shabbat. Then you just say, like Shabbat. And then you say, forget the like, just eliminate the Shabbat and just call it Shabbat. I mean, if it looks like a kangaroo, and it smells like a kangaroo, and it talks like a kangaroo, it's got to be a kangaroo. Well, there's a problem here. If it smells and talks and everything else like a Shabbat, but God didn't call it a Shabbat, then we shouldn't either. Period. Look, that's the person that I am. If that's not acceptable to you, it's a problem. Yeah. The problem here would be that you have to either get rid of me or get rid of you. One of the two. I mean, or you're going to have to put it aside. There's no discussion. God said. There's no discussion. God said. So if he decided to call me, then I would have to change my name to Bluva. How do you spell Bluva? I don't have any idea. Oh, it's still there. Isn't that nice? Even though this went to sleep. I said, if the day of the offering is the day after the first day of unleavened bread, no, that Abib 15 is called Pesach. And it's 7 days. Leviticus 23, Pesach, is one day. The 14th. What is the 15th to the 21st call? Hag HaMatzot, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So if I go and change the name that should have been for the 14th and attach it to the 15th to the 21, then guess what? Like many of us, just pick up a calendar and go, oh, Pesach starts on Wednesday night this year. You missed it. By that time, Yeshua was entombed. And when Pesach started, I'm so used to the terminology because I live in the Jewish, I talk to the Jewish community and all those things. When the first day of unleavened bread arrived, okay, he was entombed. So when did he, that's the 15th. So when did he do his Seder? The night before. Oh, no, see, he used video. So he made a video from the grave, and that's the video that they played over there on John 13, 14, really. I mean, it's almost, look, some people actually look at me and say, well, that's right. See, saw the video. Have you seen the latest commercial of Apple earbuds? Well, just, it'll see it. Some girl puts the earbuds in, and all of the people lift up, cars and everything. And she's walking by herself, cannot hear a car or anything like that. Is that possible? How did they pull that off? Good, because Apple owns Pixar. So they did it with, look, I use technology too. So since this says that the Omer count began week one, Thursday, is that the morning after a Shabbat? Should have said Saturday. Sunday, right? The morning after Shabbat. So I use Adobe and I edited that for you. And just in case you don't confuse it with theirs, I put an asterisk right here, counting of the Omer, asterisk. Look at the first page. And on the bottom, the asterisk says, for Kol Simcha only. Bet Tikva does the same thing, and there are others too, by the way. We're not the only ones. I'm almost ready to preach. Just about ready to preach. You want to follow along? You can get your smartphone. Well, get your stupid phone. Doesn't really matter. Now, this is like, there it is. And go to messages and click right there. And that's the message I'm going to speak on. We just leave it on for a minute here. I just blew the clock to pieces, right? I like to speak about becoming mighty in spirit. Okay? Before doing the scripture, I always do the scripture first, but today I want to wait a minute on the scripture. In Isaiah 11:2, let me quote it for you, which is, this is the beauty of using my stuff right here, is that I already quoted and put it in blue, in a different font, and all those things. So it's right there. I'm quoting the TLB. The Ruach Adonai will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, insight, counsel, and might. Knowledge and fear of Adonai. So that means that there's all these spirits, right? Actually, the Bible says there's the seven spirits of God, and they go with Zechariah, and they go with this one, and they, in the book of Revelation, that's the same thing. But it's really all, according to Paul, the same self-same spirit. The spirit of Adonai, okay, the spirit of Adonai has, according to this, has might. The spirit of might is the fear of Adonai. We learn about the Holy Spirit as the spirit of might from this scripture. Might is a variation of the word gibor, el gibor, okay? Meaning champion, strong, mighty, he who excels. The same Hebrew word is actually one of the names of Adonai, el gibor. And we translate that as the mighty God, which is in Isaiah chapter 9, right? The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace is there, okay? Would you like to know a secret? Okay, Kim, I got a secret to share with you. Everybody else doesn't care. They're just like, oh, forget it. Here's the secret. Kim, you want to conquer the world? Become mighty in spirit. You want to conquer the world? Become mighty in spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see that the Spirit of God, the Ruach, can choose 9 manifestations. Now, that's where I want you now to go and look at the top of the message. Okay? I use the Complete Jewish Bible and the TLV. The first verse in the Complete Jewish Bible says, "But brothers, I do not want you to continue being ignorant about the things of the Spirit or the things of the Ruach." The Greek word there is pneumatikos, where you know pneumatics is the science of air, right? The pneumatics is how the robots move in Disney World. And the reason they have the music so loud is so you don't hear the robots going. I'm serious. I know about robotics, okay? So, what does the King James Version translate that as? The King James Version translates that, "Now, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts." Does that word say gifts? The TLV did the same thing. In 2014, I intercepted the rabbi who was in charge of that. And I said, "Please open up 1 Corinthians 12:1 in the Greek." To my great dismay, he opens a Greek book and starts reading it just like your son. And he reads and he says, "It doesn't say gifts. It says pneumatikos, which is what? Spiritual things." So, you know, the first sentence of a writing usually tells you the context. So as you read that, you say, "Oh, this chapter is about gifts." Nah, it's not. The Complete Jewish Bible translated it correctly, and the TLV will when they do their revision. Because they took my thing and said, "Okay, please fix it." And he said, "It will be fixed, but it takes 10 years. They won't change it for 10 years. Because if they change it before 10 years, then it's like admitting that it's full of errors. And it becomes suspect." I mean, so there's these issues they have to deal with. But they're going to change it. It's not going to say that. And if it says gifts, there will be an asterisk that says, you know, look in the asterisk one and go to the one down here and say the actual word is things of the Spirit. At least the King James Version puts that in italics. When the King James Version puts that in italics, that means that word wasn't there. Let me tell you that again. The King James Version, anything in italics in the King James Version, is the word isn't there. That's not the word. That was a word inserted by the translators. Well, at least they tell you it was inserted. Okay? If you know, continue with me. Verse 4. Now I'll pick up from the TLV. Now there are various kinds of gifts. The word there is charismata, but the same ruach. There are various kinds of service. The word there is diakonion, deacon. You get the word deacon from that, which is minister. But the same Lord, verse 6, there are various kinds of working. The word there is energema. You get the word energy out of that, which means operations. But the same God who works all things in all people. Look what the introduction to the so-called nine spiritual gifts is. The introduction is, but to each person is given the manifestation, phanerosis, which means to manifest, declare, make manifest, to appear, to express, of the ruach. So for each person is given the manifestation of the ruach for the benefit of all. For to one is given through the ruach a word of wisdom. We continue, to another a word of knowledge. To another by the same ruach. To another faith by the same ruach. To another the gifts of healing by one ruach. To another workings of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and finally to another the interpretation of tongues. My friend, that is in Christianity, that's called the nine gifts of the Spirit. The problem is that the introduction here doesn't say these are gifts. It says these are manifestations. Big problema, muy grande, because when I started teaching about this in 1983 in Auburn, they were not real happy with me. I did not know TLV then, and I didn't know Hebrew then, I didn't know Greek then, I didn't know any of those things. I said, well, read the NIV. I said, well, that the nearly inspired version? We don't believe that. So the NIV, I couldn't use the NIV. So I had to just ask somebody, do you have a Greek lexicon of the New Testament, a Greek version? And Dr. John Garr handed me his personal copy, which also happens to have the words translated underneath. So I didn't have to become a Greek scholar. I just have to, well, I couldn't read them. That word right there underneath, it says what it means. Okay? So, guess what? To each person is given the manifestation of the ruach for the benefit of all. Who gets this? What do you get? Why? You all got an A. You just regurgitated for me what it says. Open book test. Verse 11, but one and the same ruach activates all these things. Who activates it? The ruach Elohim, the ruach HaKodesh. Distributing to each person individually as they ask. Distributing to each person individually as they have the faith for it. Distributing to each person individually as they give offerings. The more the offerings, the more you get. Distributing to each person individually as a title. Does it say anything about titles here? Don't tell me that you haven't been tempted to go hear the evangelist that comes to town that has fame in healing. I'm not putting those people down. Don't misunderstand me. Please, because some people are gifted. But what if, peradventure, one day you get a word of knowledge from the Lord and you share it in the congregation. God, what do we do? We need knowledge. We need to go ask him. So then we'll go and ask him. I'm going to pick on Sam, okay, because he's big enough to beat my butt anyway. And he already put me on my place the other day preaching, so it's okay. He's going to give it to me, and I'm going to give it to him. So suppose Sam gets a word of knowledge, and he shares that word of knowledge, and everybody goes, that was from God. And you go 2 weeks later, and people are going, we need to hear from God. What do you think happens in most Christianity, especially in Pentecostal circles? Sam, what is God saying? He's big enough to say, I got nothing. But the majority of people that have this get very nervous about this. Might even be tempted to say something. When the person should say, ain't got nothing. So then let's wait 6 weeks. Sam, ain't got nothing. Wait a year, ain't got nothing. Wait 10 years, ain't got nothing. Man, you ain't got nothing. So since you don't have nothing, since that time when you said that, I wonder if what you said was God or not. Sam, have you been sinning? Sam, have you been? Does your wife know your whereabouts every time you? Have you been using that plane for something other than engineering? So we just impute all kinds of stuff and make Sam feel bad, except you're not going to make Sam feel bad because he's got this figured out. He's just going to say, I ain't got nothing. When he gives me something, I'll give it to you. How's that? Well, that's just a word of knowledge. There's a bunch of others here. There's a word of wisdom. There's faith. Gifts of healings. You need to go see Elisma to get healed. Or Sid. Well, they're medical people. Don't go see Joe. He's medical, but he just does lab work. Right, Joe? Okay. But you could see Sid, because she knows something about that. And you could see Elisma, Dr. Elisma. She knows something about that. Oh, you didn't know. I didn't know either. She's a full-fledged doctor, a pediatrician. How about that? Okay. Well, Elisma could say, actually, my expertise is children. And if it was me, I'd say, well, that's perfect. Because there's not a bigger child than me. I'm the child. Okay? And there'd be temptation to go and, oh, Sid, you don't know what it is? Well, pray for me because you got the anointing of healing. But maybe inside Sid is going, I have a degree, but I don't have an anointing. And perhaps you should have asked Rebecca. Because last week, Rebecca she got it, man. And she just went to somebody and said, be healed in the name of Yeshua. And that person got healed. And you go, oh, Rebecca, can I buy you lunch? Rebecca, you want to come to my house? Come to my house, Rebecca. You won't even have to do dishes. You just sit there and look good. So that I got this little pain right here, Rebecca, and you can touch me and I can, don't we do that? Don't we do that in the kingdom of God? Come on now. Come on now. Look, what the Ruach does, it's his choice and it is his will. Not mine, not yours, not anybody's. If the Spirit chooses to use someone to give a prophecy, or someone else to give a word of knowledge, or someone to speak a word of wisdom, answer, so be it. Well, wait a minute. He didn't use me. Right. He didn't use Sam. He didn't use John. You know, you and I need to chill. When it comes to God not choosing you, don't you like my preaching? Aren't you just so excited? Well, he didn't choose you. Well, you know, the Bible says he chooses the blankety-blank things of the world to confound the smart. To be careful with that, because then God chooses you. Because you're the blank, blankety-blank. He didn't choose the wisdom of the world to confound the world. He chose the blank, blankety-blank. So if we could say, oh, that's the reason he chose you, Jackie. Yeah. She's cool. She goes like, yeah, I ain't any problem with that. We have to be careful, don't we? God is not angry with you. If he didn't choose you, he's not angry with you. He uses whomsoever he wills because he's sovereign. When it comes to this, he really is in control. He's in control of his own spirit, for goodness sakes. He is in control. Let the Ruach Elohim be Ruach Elohim. Let the Ruach Elohim be part of the deity. Let them be Lord of all. It's often said that happiness in life is based on fulfilling our destiny, our purpose in life. And I agree. However, let me say that real fulfillment is ultimately based on our service to Adonai. How can we possibly be useful to the creator of the universe? Some of you go around and say, God can't use me because I'm so blank, blank, blankety blank. And some of you need to have deliverance about those words. Some of you have a problem called self-image or whatever. Stop it! Stop it! Let God be God and the rest of us be humans. How's that? The scripture says, owe to no one anything. What does it say? You want to quote it for me? Owe to no one anything. Except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. I didn't say that. The TLV did. That's in Romans. For the commandments, continuing, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. Ve'ahavta le'areacha kamocha. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's right there in Romans, chapter 13. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fullness of the Torah. Romans 13, 8 through 10. I'm just quoting scripture. Every person born again, didn't you hear something the other day?
Yes, I did.
Every person who experienced rebirth, okay, into Messiah's kingdom takes on a debt of love. Takes on a debt of love in order to fulfill the Torah of Adonai. Let me also say, who is the provider? Tony's the provider. I provide nothing. Who's the provider? Adonai is the provider. You want to say Yeshua, that's okay. because it's part of Adonai, but Adonai is a provider. Adonai Yireh, which actually doesn't mean provider. It means he will see. That's over there in the Akedah. That's in the binding of Isaac. That word is used, that revelation of the name, Adonai Yireh. And how is it interpreted? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Yeah. Jireh means like Jireh. It's like a gyroscope. The Lord is the ultimate provider. So he gave us his spirit to go in there, huh? To live in the temple of the Holy Spirit so that we can pay the debt of love. It's so cool that he wants us to pay the debt of love, and he knows we didn't got nothing, so he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he'll give us what we need so we can pay it. That's typical of him. Pay the taxes, Peter. I ain't got nothing. Well, here, got that fish right there. Get a fish, and then open the fish, and there's a pearl, right? Was it pearl? Something. A coin. A gold coin? Oh, man. We need to go fishing. Get a gold coin and pay the taxes. Was Yeshua against paying taxes? Did he provide the means for them to pay the taxes? Oh, my goodness. If I have purpose in life, I know why I exist. I know why I am here. I understand Adonai's purpose in allowing me to become part of his body. And I can be greatly fulfilled and happy in his service. The problem is that people are in unhappy spaces because they're not being used for his service like they want to be, which includes a lot of people here. You want to be used more by the Lord, and he's not. Yeshua said, blessed is the man who gives. So that doesn't include banks. Banks don't give. Banks only take. The IRS only takes. Right? So they're not included in this blessing. Not the IRS and not the bank. The more you give to the Lord, the happier you will be. You just have to understand that. Similarly, the less you give to the Lord, the more frustrated and depressed you will be. The key to happiness is usefulness. Being right where you are, available to be used by the Lord. The Lord has placed us in his body as it pleases him. I'm quoting scripture for you. Look, but now God has placed the parts, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Now you are the body of Messiah and members individually. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 and 27. Because since unless Adonai builds the house, the builders build in vain. That's Psalm 127, 1. We are in the body of Messiah. Look, we did not choose him. He chose us, right? It is not up to us to gift ourselves to the service of Adonai. It is not up to us to gift ourselves so that we can do service to Adonai. We are not like a body. The scripture says we are the body of Messiah. He gave us the privilege. He did not and does not have to use us. Because he's God. He don't need nobody. But he has chosen to limit himself. So that we have a reason to pray. We have a reason to intercede. He could use rocks as easily as he could use any one of you. Oh, I wrote something here. I'm just going to read it. I think sometimes it'll be easier to use rocks than to use some of you guys. Said, you know, you came to be blessed. I'm blessing you. Therefore, He has given to us both the privilege and the opportunity of being used because he placed us in his body. Say with me, we are the body of Messiah. So, if Yeshua wants to express tears of compassion, he can use TJ. He can use Sam. Have you seen Sam spill out some tears of compassion here? Oh no, those are crocodile tears. He uses our eyes. If he wants to speak words of comfort to somebody, he uses our mouth. The problem is, we are not all that interested in blessing. We have a better use of curses. We know how to use those really well. The blank, blank, blankety blank. If he wants to extend a helping hand, he uses our hands. If he wants to hug somebody, uses Marilyn, okay, there you go. I'm so glad you've been paying attention. The hugger, Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves. If he wants to walk across the street to visit someone, he uses our feet. Listen, you are a part of the body and so am I. You have a function and so do I. You will only be personally fulfilled if we fulfill the function in the body of Messiah that he intended for us. So some of you are eyes, and some of you are legs, and some of you are lips, and some of you are ears. But who wants to be an armpit? You want to be the armpit? Okay, Tony is the armpit. I am the most obnoxious, whatever, so I'm the armpit. Does the Lord have armpits? The body of Messiah, it has armpits, okay? I could say that I'm the skin between toes. But I'm in the body. Touch is a prickly plant. Barefooted. That would not be the case with me. I ain't never going barefooted out there. But this woman over here, she says you have to get in touch with the ground. You have to be grounded. So she goes out there and gets in all of that. And she doesn't go, ah, ah, and I start walking on grass. Because I'm sensitive. What is a member to do? How do we know? Answer. The answer I gave Kim, because the only one who wanted to know the answer. Become mighty in spirit. That's the answer. To be mighty in spirit is the following. To know him intimately and to experience the power of Adonai Messiah, Yeshua, in daily victory over the power of sin and flesh. According to the scripture, we are to keep growing in our spiritual life. I didn't say that Peter did. Instead, verse 18, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. 1 Peter 3:18. When we begin to grow in Yeshua's character, obedience, understanding, love, faith springs out. And we will grow into maturity. We begin demonstrating evidence of it, of his life inside of us by developing spiritual muscles. You aren't going to get pecs. Is that what they call pecs? Yeah. You're not going to develop that if you just sit on the couch and drink beer all day. It ain't going to happen. How are you going to get something like that? Okay, you got to work out. When we are mighty in spirit, we will be able to better discern truth from error. Being mighty in spirit will train you to live victoriously in a personal lifestyle and character that matches Yeshua. When you are mighty in spirit, you will gain, utilize, and give true wisdom, which comes from above. When you are mighty in spirit, you will more consistently win the spiritual battles through prayer and personal disciplines. Being mighty in spirit will enable you to send forth light instead of propagating darkness for the salvation and deliverance of many. Being mighty in spirit will enable you to send forth love. Demonstrate genuine love. Exhibit practical creativity. Have mature wisdom. Keen, K-E-E-N, discernment. And be fully enthusiastic about everything. When you are mighty in spirit, you exercise and display the Holy Spirit's manifestations. You're ready for it. Like, let me have one of the nine today. Want to pray correctly? Whichever one you want to give me. You don't want to give me one? Awesome. I'm going to ask again. I'm going to be just like that lady in Yeshua's parable. I kept pestering the judge until he gave her what she wanted. Okay, so you can actually pester the Lord to get what you want. And if what you want is what he wants to give anyway, duh. Happy days are here again. Have you said Hineni? Oh, I think now, though. Oh, you, what do you mean? I preached that here, preached that in the Southeast region or whatever. Hineni. Hineni is a word that Abraham used when the Lord called him. Hineni means I'm ready, Lord. Hineni means I'll go. Hineni means I'm listening, Lord. Hineni is more than just a response to a call. Hineni is the covenant response. This is from all messages. It is the response of a child to his daddy, to his Abba. Hineni declares the following. When you say Hineni to Adonai, you have my full attention. Nothing is distracting me. Everything that I am and everything that I have is at your disposal. I asked that here, and everybody raised their hands. I'm going to be in any person. Okay, here's what it means. Say it with me. You have my full attention. And nothing is distracting me. Everything that I am and everything that I have is at your disposal. Are you going to say Hineni now? I think he took notes, okay? I took notes too. The Holy Spirit has seven motivational gifts. I talked about that last year at this time. They're in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Eight ministerial administrations, the diaconon that is there. And nine operational working manifestations, which is the Greek energema. They are all expressions of the many-sided grace of God. They are spiritual drives, opportunities, and results given by the Holy Spirit to achieve supernatural goals. We all have access to these because of salvation. Because it's salvation, His Spirit united with our spirit. So we can now say, Abba, Father. The Ruach himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah. Romans 8, 16, 17. I want to ask the question, how effectively have you been available to the Holy Spirit? How mighty in spirit are you? Or me? I'm very safe in saying that not so many of us have made ourselves available. I'm very safe in saying that we lack in ability because we have not let the Holy Spirit of God use us like He wants to. I need more of him, not more of Sam, not more of John, not more of Glore, not more of Candace, not even more of Marilyn. I need more of God. I'd still like to have a wife to cook for me. Fortunately, all you have to do is, oh, really? You don't have to pay tithe? You don't have to, you know. No, here we go. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father, if his sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? And if the child asks for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion. If you, telling these disciples now, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Ruach HaKodesh to those who ask? The question is not how much of the Spirit you want to get. The question is how much of you is the Spirit going to get? Allowing more of the Spirit of God to dwell in us is really at the core of being mighty in spirit. We have not because we ask not. I didn't say that. Yeshua did. We lack effectiveness because we're unaware of the spiritual tools available to us that empowers us to do more for him, to be more like him, and to be guided by his spirit. So the question then becomes, how do we grow in the spirit? How are we going to become these mighty people in spirit? What do you think? I think it's by saying yes to the Lord. By letting God be God in our lives. Do what you want to do. Doesn't really matter. You see, he's a gentleman. He's not going to overrule you out. If you don't ask, he won't give. You've been taught a bunch of baloney. You've been taught that you're a citizen of the Most High God. And you're going to heaven and all these things. And you go, I ain't got nothing to do because he didn't do nothing with it. I didn't do nothing to get it. Now I didn't do nothing to do it. You're like, you got it wrong, man. When you became part of the kingdom of God, you have a mouth. Even sheep know how to say something. Bah, 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 bah. Okay. The Lord understands. He's a good shepherd. He understands the bah of his sheep. We get more of him if we allow him. And we do that by asking. The Holy Spirit Festival is coming. Let's get ready. So, I gave you a counter so you can count the days. So now you can go every day and go, first day, second day, third day. But I have to hand it over to Monique Brumbach, came up with the idea. There's 7 weeks. And those 9 things actually group into 7 groups naturally. So what if, as you're counting the Omer, you also meditate on one of those gifts? Gifts? No. Manifestations of the Spirit. So that he could give it to you. So this is what I did. I took and made the dates correct. And the first week, we're going to all think about and meditate on love. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13 is the definition of love, all this entire chapter. Okay? And every day we could read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 13, for example. And then we could at the end of the week look at some of the questions here and say, love is expressing compassion, but this must be practiced in balance. Am I compassionate to a fault, or am I slow to show compassion? To whom do I have difficulty showing compassion? The cat. That's it, the cat. Who can I reach out to this week and show compassion to? The love of God. Week two, joy. You make me know the path of life. In your presence, there's unbounded joy. At your right hand, eternal delight. That's for week two, starting April 13th to April 19th. When is joy hardest to attain? At the end of the week, think about it and then fill them out. And we could even share questions. Joy is fueled by gratitude. What have I begun to take for granted? Who can I show sincere gratitude to this week? Week three, peace and patience. I'm glad they put those two together. Peace and patience. You know, meditate on peace and patience all through the week. At the end of the week, you could fill this out. In what situations do I find myself losing patience? Every time my wife raises her voice. She never does, but I do. When do I lose patience? When the clock says it's time to go, and she's still upstairs, she'll come down and say, bad hair day. And I go, but I don't let her see it. I do that on the inside. On the outside, I said, go around the world in 80 days. Oh no, you guys are so dadgum perfect. I'm wasting my time. Is there a pattern to these situations? Yes. What is the one patient testing situation you're likely to encounter this week? I have a secret for you. It's usually between husband and wife, number one. Between kids and husband, or kids and wife, number two. And the cat, number three. The cat is number three, for sure. Week four, kindness and goodness. Those seem to go together. That's the week of April 27th through May 3rd. Do I tend to lean towards excessive kindness or excessive stinginess? With my time, money, or words of encouragement? What are the fears or longings that drive me in each direction? Who have I been intending to show kindness to, but kept thinking, no. I said, this is for me. I need this stuff. Week five, faithfulness. Day 29, May 4th through May 10th. At the end of the week, have I recently betrayed a confidence or not followed through with a commitment? When my kids were little, Bill Gothard urged us to give our kids a piece of paper and a pencil and write anything that they were disappointed in us. I happily gave them all kinds of sheets of paper because I knew the answer was zero. It wasn't? Oh, no. Do I try to make amends about that? What specific opportunities to practice faithfulness am I likely to encounter this week? Week 6, humility. Ooh, man. It's getting better, isn't it? Getting better? That's May 11th through May 17th. Do I have a high opinion of myself? Goodness, no. I'm good and I know it. I'm smart as I can be. I have a PhD. I'm so smart, you can't just... Of course, that doesn't apply to you. All of you are humble and nice people and everything. When I receive praise or criticism, how do I react? That's a pretty interesting question. I thought praise and criticism are opposites. I'm not preaching that. Okay, you're safe. You're safe. What specific way can I practice humility instead of an exaggerated idea about my own importance? Who wrote this? They must have been peeking into my diary. I don't have one. Week 7. Oh, this is great for men. The number one problem for men. Numero uno. Self-control. For men. You ladies are pretty good at that. Men, we struggle with self-control. In what areas of my life do I have extreme order or extreme disorder? How do I respond when my plans are disrupted by others? Kill that cat, I'm telling you. Don't do just what her brother said. The only cat that's worth anything is dead one. I take my gun and shoot it. Amelise didn't hear that. She would have just got on to him. What areas of my life do I need more order or more flexibility? What can I do to make improvements? That's for day 43. That's May 18th to May 24. According to this book. But see, I fixed it for you. It's through May 27th. The right dates. You have the right dates. What I'm suggesting to the congregation is that this just dropped out of the sky. And it actually is really good. It's a good idea to focus on the things of the Spirit that we need to do more of. And what a better way to do it than counting the Omer. On every day, when you say, Lord, you told me to count, so here I am counting. And then, you know, take a few minutes and think about love, for example, during that week or whatever. So I'm suggesting we do that. You don't have to do it. I'm copying Adonai. I'm saying what he says. Here, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. So, what if you choose death? Everybody liked for him to intervene when we choose death. That's what I preach at your daughter's funeral. He gave us free moral agency. And if we choose to shoot him a bird, that's our choice. He's not going to override it. He's just going to let consequences that are already in place, just like Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit. In the day you eat it, you'll die. What did they do? They ate the fruit. And what happened? Death came upon humanity through them. Has God taken that away? Actually, he has through Yeshua, but we're going to have to do something and become part of his kingdom and have a mindset that does not care about your own life. That's Revelation 12, 11, and 12. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and because I do not consider my own life even unto the death. And that third part is the difficult part. You know, I taught once that verse right there, it's not really talking about martyrdom. That it's really talking about living for him. Can you live for him? Don't consider your own life. Every one of us goes, okay, that means death. That means he wants me to be a martyr. Let me be a martyr. No, he wants us to yield our life to live his life through us. So we do not consider our own life, even if that causes us death. We're living the life that Yeshua gave us, and living the life is the most important thing that we can do, not dying for him. Don't get it wrong, okay? The Lord's more interested in live offerings, not dead offerings. For that reason, he said, if you want to be an offering, get yourself into the offering place. Romans 12. This exact thing that happened to Isaac. No, you've been taught that Abraham, 100 every many years old, picked up big boy Isaac and stuck him on the... Abraham didn't pick up Isaac anymore that I could pick up my 15-year-old son. He got bigger than me. He could have beat my butt, but he didn't do it. And I asked for it. I dared him to hit me. What the Lord's interested in is, for this reason, you are to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12. So the Lord is looking for voluntary sacrifices. You sacrifice for him. That means give him all the money? Maybe. You know, he's more interested in you giving him all that you are. The inside that he is in your money, in your possessions, in your purple stuff, in your pink stuff. Do you have any pink stuff? Okay. God is more interested in that stuff than he is in anything else. Are you guys ready to go? It's time. Wait, time. Let's see. It's 1:22. I really spoke loud long today. I messed up big time. Let's stand up. I don't know, but it's just really hard to give you 5 cents worth of chocolate when what you need is 350 pounds of it. And so some of us that come up here to preach have this dilemma that we really want to open up a hose so that you can get all that you need to get, and you just can't drink from a hose. Okay? This, I'm getting old. Endure just a little longer, please, Jesus. Amen.